So welcome. So just mentioning, Sandy and I have been doing this a long time, both weight loss surgery patients, and we are passionate about our own success as much as we are your success, and really thrilled to have you here. Thanks for spending your time with us. My guess is we have several callers that are pre-oppers, so I'd love to hear anybody here for the first time. Anybody here first time calling in to WLS Success Matters?
I am,
yay. And why are you here? Are you pre-op?
Yes.
Excellent. And when's your surgery scheduled for?
I don't have it scheduled yet.
Okay. Well, good. We're glad to have you here. Make sure you ask questions and get your questions answered, okay?
Thank you.
You bet. Anybody else, a first-time caller here?
Me too.
Me too. Okay. And I know Me Too is having gastric bypass surgery. Do you have a surgery date yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. Excellent. Well, we're happy to have you here, and feel free to ask as many questions that you have. Is anybody a veteran here? Anybody been here more than three times? None of my old friends. Okay. Well, welcome. It sounds like we've got a group of new callers. We appreciate you being here. Today we're going to talk about grocery shopping makeover. So how many people, I'm guessing most of you are pre-op?
Yes.
484. I see several 484s. Are you all pre-op?
Yes.
Okay. 267, are you pre-op? You're on mute, so I can't hear you. Star 6 will take you off of mute, 267. 402, are you pre-op? 402 being your area code, guys. Okay, 712, that's your area code. Are you pre-op?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, okay, so everybody's pre-op. Excellent. So, a big piece of this journey, even though we're all signed up to have bariatric surgery, right? We're going to surgically alter our bodies to help us with the disease of obesity, right? That's a big step. So congratulations on making that choice for yourself. Good for you. I am going to be 11 years post-op this month, the month of March, and I have successfully maintained 100% of my excess weight loss. So bariatric surgery certainly gave me an opportunity to live my best life. So it is possible. Surgery is one piece of that, right? And it's usually a 40-minute to 120-minute procedure, and it happens on one day. And then eventually you go home, right, whether it's the same day or a day or two later, depending on your surgeon and your surgery type. So beyond surgery, there are a lot of things we're learning about that are going to be different. And the reality is you might not realize it right now, but by creating different, you're also going to create better. And whose responsibility is that? Your surgeon's responsibility is to perform the surgery on you, right? Whose
right.
responsibility is it to figure out their new guidelines for nutrition and their new ways of living their lifestyle? Anybody?
Ours.
Our
own.
That's right. Yours. Everybody on this call, it's up to you. So you got to step into a place of ownership. Nobody can do it for you. And the reality is nobody can live in your success or your frustration or your challenges or your victories but you either, right? So this is all about you. And oftentimes you're going to have to educate the people around you and probably weed the garden. More than likely, relationships are going to change in your world too. But food is a big one. Your relationship with food. How would you describe your relationship with food right now? Anybody?
Toxic.
Toxic. Powerful world. Do you want to say more about that? What do you mean by toxic? Tell me a little bit more.
It's unhealthy.
Unhealthy. The choices you make, the foods that you eat, the amount of food. Tell me a little bit more.
All of the above.
All of the above. All of the above.
working on making changes, but that's why I'm here.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a judgment-free zone. And I'd like to think that any of us that have had weight loss surgery certainly understand what you're sharing, right? We've all been there, my friend. You're not alone. So I appreciate you stepping up to the plate to share. And it sounds like we have a new caller that joined us. Welcome. So relationship with food, we heard toxic, we heard unhealthy choices, we heard overeating, quantity and portion size. What about why you eat? Anybody know about that relationship with food? Why do you eat?
Stress.
Currently. Stress. What else?
Anxiety.
This is a big anxiety.
Boredom.
Boredom. Keep it coming. Anybody eat because they're hungry? Physically? Well, guess what? That's what your number one MO is going to be as a weight loss surgery patient, is to ask yourself the following question. If I'm hungry, then I need to eat. And you're going to have a whole new experience with what hunger is as a weight loss surgery patient. And it's not anything that anybody can describe to you, to be quite honest, what hunger is until you actually live it as a weight loss surgery patient. It will be uniquely yours and different than anything you've ever known, right? So you're going to ask yourself, am I physically hungry? If you're physically hungry, you're going to make a choice. And if you haven't learned it yet, pretty much every bariatric surgeon will tell you to eat protein first. Right? So protein will satisfy hunger very quickly, and it only takes a little bit. And that's going to be new to all of us because we're used to eating a lot of food, whether we're hungry or not, is what I'm hearing. Right? So the next question, if you're not hungry, what can you be? Right? What are the reasons we reach for food? I heard a few of them, but I'll share these with you. Am I angry? Right? Am I angry? Does food take care of anger? No. Food takes care of hunger. Right? So we don't want to eat if we're angry. We want to do something else. We want to learn how to deal with that emotion. Right? Are we lonely? Does eating take care of being lonely? No.
No.
Eating takes care of being hungry. If you're lonely, you're going to have to figure out what to do with that emotion, right? That feeling. Are you tired? Does eating take care of being tired? No. Eating takes care of being hungry, right? So if you're tired, you might need to take a nap, right? You need to learn what to do with tired beyond eating to solve tired. Are you stressed? Right? Stress could be in that category. Anxiety could fall into that. Right? Are you stressed? Does eating take care of stress? No. Eating takes care of hunger. Right? What if you're sad? Does eating take care of being sad? No. Eating takes care of being hungry, right? So you're going to ask yourself those questions. And if you're hungry, what are you going to do? I gave it to you guys. Come on. If you're hungry, what are you going to do as a bariatric patient?
Eat protein.
Beautiful. Thanks for stepping up to answer that.
Took me a minute to figure out how to unmute.
Yeah, star 6 will take you off of mute, and star 6 will put you on mute. Beautiful. So if we're hungry, we're going to eat. What are we going to do if we're not hungry? If we're angry, lonely, tired, sad, stressed, what are we going to do?
Something else.
Something else. Excellent. So today's topic that I want to jump into is the grocery shopping makeover, right? Let's talk about your grocery shopping today. Anybody? How do you get food into your body? What do? Do you eat out all the time? Do you shop and cook at home? What's your current grocery shopping plan? How do you eat? How do you get food into you? Anybody?
Well, lately, we got our income tax, so we're using that as our way to go out to eat all the time.
Oh. Gee. Is that the best thing to do? It's honest. I appreciate it.
Hell no. Not at all.
Okay. So, interesting. All right. So, you're going out because you got your money back. Eat now.
And it's just, it's easier. It's convenient.
Easier. Okay. What's about it? What about it is easier?
I don't have to make anything. I don't have to prep. It's all done. I just pick it up and shove it in my mouth.
And there's no dishes to do. Don't forget that one. Right? Good. Good, honest answer. What else? How are you doing it? How are you getting food for your body? How are you getting yourself nutrition? What's your current MO? How do you do it?
I'm a junk food eater.
I know you're all eating.
I mostly cook.
I mostly cook. What does that mean, mostly? How many days a week?
Six.
Six? And are you cooking all your meals?
Supper every night.
Okay, so you're cooking supper every night. What do you do for breakfast and lunch?
Well, actually, I've been cooking breakfast, too. I usually just make myself a couple of scrambled eggs, a piece of toast.
Okay. And for lunch?
A sandwich or a salad or some soup. My problem is that I eat kind of normally most of the day, and then it's like I've been trying so hard to be so good that when the evening comes, I just eat everything I can get my hands on.
Okay. So
exactly. At night, it's kind of like a free-for-all.
Yeah.
Okay. So back this conversation up. What I hear you saying started out with I cook mostly, and then it was I cook breakfast, and I buy out lunch.
No, I don't buy it. I don't buy lunch. I eat it at home, but I don't, you know, like get out a pan and cook it on the stove.
Oh, okay. But you're making your
so
own.
So it's like a, yeah. So it's like a frozen dinner or leftovers from supper or a sandwich or soup or a salad. But I do it here in my home.
Okay, perfect. And then what happens for dinner? Because you said you cook dinner mostly, but then there's a free-for-all eating. So tell me a little bit more about that.
I eat dinner, and sometimes I eat too much because I've just limited myself all day. And then nighttime comes, and I feel like I'm hungry all over again, and I can grab the chips, I grab the crackers, I grab whatever I can get my hands on and eat it.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate your authenticity and sharing. That's excellent. So this is a great, this is what I wanted to hear, right? Because if this caller is sharing with us that she's essentially doing most of her cooking at home, right? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And she's also having snacks with snacks. You know, Sandy likes to call snacks bridges to the next meal. And that's totally true. Right? So eating a snack is okay, here, there, and everywhere. It's about what these items are that we're eating, right? What we're eating for breakfast, what we're eating for lunch, what we're eating for dinner, what our snacks are. during the day, right? And
then how much of this month?
Yeah, it's going to be what
that's my problem.
It's going to be what you consume and how much of it you consume, right? And weight loss surgery will give us a tool, right? Will provide a tool to assist in both of those areas, but it won't do all the work. So the work starts with planning. Planning what you're going to be eating. And then once you plan what you're going to eat, what happens next? You have to bring it in. You have to purchase it. You have to acquire it. You have to go to the grocery store. You have to have Amazon Prime delivery, right? Or whatever your grocery store chain is, store delivery or store pickup, right? So you have to do a grocery haul. Who's responsible for bringing the food into your environment to the gal who cooks mostly at home?
We are.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah, me. I want everybody to say that. Me. I am. Right? So it's about what we plan, and it's about what we purchase, and it's about what we bring into our environment. Okay, you got that? Everybody
yes.
with me? Okay. So let me go back to this. When we talk about if you're following your weight loss surgery guidelines, when you're hungry, what are you going to eat first?
Protein.
Protein. Perfect. So, someone tell me what protein is.
Chicken, fish. Poultry,
I heard
eggs.
I heard chicken, fish, poultry. Keep going.
Nuts.
Nuts for protein?
Peanut butter?
Protein is peanut butter? So I hear nuts and protein. Nuts are protein and peanut butter are protein. I'm going to put that to the side for a second. Let's keep going to hear what else we have. What else is protein, guys?
Cheese.
Say it again.
Cheese.
Cheese. Cheese and other dairy. What other dairy? What's dairy? I think I have someone in their car with a blinker on. Can you hit *6 to put yourself on mute, please? And then you'll be able to hit *6 to come off and mute as well. So we're talking about dairy. I heard cheese. When you think dairy, what else do you think about besides cheese?
Milk.
No.
Cottage cheese.
Cottage cheese. Milk. What about Greek yogurt? Greek
yogurt.
Greek yogurt. Another form of dairy. So, when we are eating our breakfast, our lunch, our dinner, our snack, what should we be picking first again?
Protein.
Okay, our potato chips protein. My girl who cooks mostly at home, our potato chips protein.
No.
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 Our crackers protein.
No.
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 Okay. So, based on all this information we've just discussed, if you're hungry after dinner, what might you choose to eat that's protein?
That's actually part of my problem.
A tablespoon of peanut butter.
Okay, so
I'm trying to eat I'm trying to eat the right things, and I'm eating too much of the right things, and I know I am.
Okay. Well, that's part of being a pre-op patient, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
you haven't had No.
Yeah. So my snacks have changed from chips and crackers to string cheese and almonds and beef jerky and yogurt, and I might eat all of that.
Yeah.
And too much of it.
Right. So one of the big pieces that I mentioned earlier, right, that, and I appreciate you being honest and sharing, because you're not alone, right? The bariatric surgery is going to help you, one, eat less food, right? Your volume is going to be restricted just based on the fact that you've had weight loss surgery. You're surgically altering your body so that you can eat less. So that's one of the big benefits of weight loss surgery. The second is you're going to have to learn how to fuel your body with the right types of food, right? So what I hear you saying, besides the almonds, you're making really good choices, right? And the almonds are technically healthy, and I say that with quotations, but they're not necessarily protein first. And I'll teach you guys how to determine what protein first means, okay? But what I want you to note here is that you are shifting your mindset. You're doing a mind shift around what food you should be choosing, which everybody here should give this woman high five, right? And so we have to stand in that place of celebrating what we are doing right, what we are doing different, what we are doing better. You follow me?
Yeah.
Yes.
So she's not eating chips and crackers anymore, right? She's made a mind shift as to what she's going to choose to fuel her body with. And she notated some really great choices that she's making, which are night and day, right? She's picking protein first on many occasions when she mentions the jerky and she mentions the yogurt and she mentions her string cheese, right? She's not picking the crackers and the chips, which is good. I want to say, stand in that place of, I've made good, healthy choices. I'm making a mind shift on how to fuel my body with proper nutrition. You guys all recognize that?
Yes.
Right? Now, did you hear how she then said, but my problem is I'm eating too much of it? Right?
Yes.
I want you to think about this for a second. Nothing matters before the but. Nothing matters before the but. And it's true, right? When we're having conversations in our own head, and when we're having conversations out loud, and when we're having conversations with those that we care about, our friends and our family, maybe even our coworkers, if you think about it, if you say, I'm making healthy choices, I'm picking this food, that food, and this food, but I'm eating too much of it.
Yeah, but means everything I just said before doesn't matter.
Yes. You follow me?
Yeah.
Yep.
So it takes away from all the good energy and all the good effort and all the good choices and all the great changes you're working to come up into, working to develop into your life, right? So I want you to remove the buck, right? I want you to think where I'm winning. The things I'm doing good, the changes I'm making for my life include the following. Right? And I currently struggle with portion control. Make sense?
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about weight loss surgery because I know it's going to give me an opportunity to relearn portion control.
That's exactly right.
Yes. It's going to give me the opportunity to relearn portion control. I want you guys to really listen to that and take some ownership around that. Weight loss surgery is not going to do the portion control work for you forever, or maybe never. So you are going to be able to relearn, right? You are going to relearn what portion control means. Anybody have any ideas how they're going to manage the portion control? How will you be responsible for portion control? What steps can you take?
Measuring out your food.
Weighing
it.
What does that mean? Weighing it, what else?
Like, just eating what the serving is, not having five of those servings or the whole entire thing, just one. And if you're hungry, a second serving will not hurt you.
Okay. So you're going to be looking at packaging and labels to understand what a serving is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then she's going to measure or weigh those out and allow herself that serving. Good. That's a good start.
I see serving kind of differently.
Say it again.
I said I see a serving kind of differently.
Oh, guess who it is? My friend Carrie. You're our first veteran on the call. Are everybody else? What do you have to say, Carrie?
Would you mind, especially after
would you mind,
doing...
Carrie? I'm sorry. Can I interrupt? Carrie is a good friend of mine, gang. And I would love, Carrie, if you could just give, like, the 30-second story of who you are before you do your share, because we have a lot of pre-offers on the call today.
Oh, absolutely. So Wendy and I both had our surgery in the same year, and we met each other over YouTube as YouTube bloggers, giving support within the community and getting support from the community. It's coming up upon like 10 years that we met up all together in Vegas, and like we have both had we had different surgeries at the time. We have had very different routes. Our initial progress was very different. I had many complications. I had a ton of regain, and I fought my way back from over 100 pounds of regain without an additional surgery, by really, really going into a hyperanalysis of my diet. And that actually led me to a new career. So I've been educating myself in food technology and product development. And I'm in my final semester right now about to graduate. So it's like all coming to fruition here.
Nice. Yeah.
So this thing about portion size, it's going to be a bit of a different thing for different people, because it all depends. Like if you're a vegetarian, your portion size is going to be different because the stuff that you're eating is going to be different. The portion size should be what will satiate you and give you the proper nutritional at a meal. And that's a very different way to think about things. So depending on your surgery, you might need a different composition of food. If you're RNY like myself, something like a firm protein has to be in there, because otherwise you're not going to get that satiation and you will most likely overeat that food, especially if it's delicious. And I think all of your food, that's where Wendy and I absolutely agree, all of your food should be delicious. Right?
Absolutely.
Like if you have to like choke it back, like if it's not great, like some of those horrible protein cookies and stuff that really don't taste great, but kind of remind us of something we used to enjoy. It's kind of not worth it. Like you should eat the things that are good for you and that you really enjoy. But it takes really a lot of thought sometimes and thinking about food in a different way, in a much more functional way.
Yeah.
So that's
and that's a little. Thank you for sharing that, Carrie. And Carrie's share touches a lot of what we're talking about thus far in the call, right, guys? We're talking about the fact, why are we eating, right? Currently today, those of us that are pre-op, what are some of the reasons why we eat? And then we're talking about if we're hungry, we eat. If we're angry, lonely, tired, stressed, sad, food doesn't cure any of those things. It only cures hunger, right? So we're going to have to take a look at the reasons why we're eating. And then we're talking about how do we currently get our nutrition, right? And moving forward, what's that going to look like? So we were talking about the planning and the grocery hauling and who's responsible for bringing the food into our environment, right? And everybody here said me, taking ownership for it. And so since we had so many people pre-op, we're talking a little bit about picking protein first when you're making those choices, and how you're going to manage your portions, not just relying on your surgery to do so. So the food that you pick is going to have a lot to do with how much you eat, right? So that ties into what Carrie shared around you're going to need protein, right? And if protein is what, regardless of what surgery you had, is always going to support that satiety, that satiation. How do you say the word?
Satiety?
Satiety. I said satiety. Okay, good. It's going to support you getting there, which is really important. Because once you become satisfied and your hunger is gone, what do you do next?
Other things.
Yes, stop eating.
Life.
Yes, live life. Other things. Other things. So let's talk about it. Are you organized, right? When you're going to do your grocery shopping, regardless of how you do it, if you order online and have it delivered, if you order online and go pick it up, if you're like me and you like to walk down every aisle of the grocery store every weekend because you grew up in the grocery store and you're a grocery store kid, right? How do you do it? How do you get organized to go to get your grocery shopping done? What are you doing currently?
Make a list.
Make a list of what?
Dairy, meat, vegetables, you know, what's important to eat, because my husband cooks every night.
Okay. So what
nice.
Does that mean? Is your husband creating a weekly menu and you're buying food to go to that menu, or are you just going to buying food and then your husband creates the menu from those foods? Tell me a little bit more.
He cooks a protein, a vegetable, and I know him and my sons, they like rice or potatoes, so the meals are pretty well balanced.
Okay, so back to my question, is he making a menu and you're shopping that menu, or are you just buying protein, produce, and carbs, and then he creates it from that?
It's what's on sale, first of all.
Okay.
And, you know, he's very creative with that. He was the chef for our own restaurant, so he's got a really good idea of mixing things together and making them healthy.
Okay, good. And is he being educated along with you about your nutritional needs and guidelines as a weight loss surgery patient, so he knows how to cook for you?
Yeah, I'm a lousy eater. I don't eat a lot of things. You know, chicken, certain fishes I only like. And I do eat small portions. And I eat very slow. And like the other young lady said, you know, sometimes at night, you know, I mean, I have other things that I do. I sew and do other things. But at nighttime, you know, I can pull out the potato chips or the ice cream and have a little bit because I'm hungry, because I really don't eat a lot. But I don't get around really well. I have a lot of arthritis. I've had my knees replaced. I've had many things health-wise. And basic, you know, having this surgery is learning how to eat better and more controlled, but being able to move and do things and get the exercise in there. And I'm, you know, in my mind, that's going to help me feel better, eat better, so I can move around and get around better.
Okay, well, let me go back to, I appreciate you sharing that, but I'm going to go back to my question.
Okay.
Listen to my question. Is your husband, who's a chef at a restaurant, who cooks in your home, getting educated about your nutritional needs at
yes.
a weight loss organization?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He comes to all the classes. We go through the, you know, the recipes and what I, you know, what I like to eat, because he'll cook differently for him and my son.
Okay. If I remember correctly, you're the gal who has a cookbook, that you're going through that cookbook with your husband, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, and let's just go a little bit further. You said in the evening you eat chips or ice cream because you're hungry.
Yeah.
So,
like, you know what it is? My husband will walk in, and I'm like, well, what are you having? Which I should just keep my mouth shut. But, you know, oh, I'm just having a little ice cream. Do you want some? And of course, I'll ask. And there's times when I just can't keep quiet, and I'll say, yeah, I'll have some of that.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Well, it's really not going to be about stopping it, because that includes willpower, and willpower will set you up for failure every time, right? So
okay, yes.
this goes back to something I shared earlier, and we talked about relationships, right?
Right.
You're going to have to learn how to understand what's hunger, right? So you initially shared that you were hungry, so you ate chips and ice cream. But what you're really telling us now is you're not really hungry. Somebody else is eating in the environment that you're in, and you're having a conversation around what they're eating, and you're choosing to eat whether you're hungry or not.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So what would the conversation sound like? How do you start as a weight loss surgery patient? How do you, as you're going into this, and you've been going to these classes, right, with your husband, and you're
yes.
hearing us talk about protein first? You know, and this isn't me putting you on the spot. This is really good for everybody here, because everybody's going to go through this, right?
Right.
What kind of conversations could you start having with your husband now?
Say that we need to sit down and plan out proteins for, you know, sit down and look at the week and plan out, like, the protein, and then I know after that it's the vegetable, and sit down and put it in, you know, some type of order and shop according to that list.
Great idea. What about when it comes to the evening snacking and him eating ice cream in front of you? What does that conversation sound like? How does ice cream going to fit into your journey as a weight loss surgery patient? What conversation might you start having with him today about that?
For me, I guess I just have to not pay attention to what they're eating. And I'm taking classes in quilting and needlepoint, so, you know, I thought I can work that into after supper, you know, after dishes, and go in and use my creative mind and,
uh-huh.
and do some sewing and, you know, do some fun things. I like to do crafts. I have a whole craft room, and not sit and pay attention to what the guys are having, because I don't need to do it. I don't need to have it. It's just, you know, they're having it, so why can't I have it? And you know what I mean?
I think you're going to end up resenting that. Honestly, can I just say that? I think you're going to end up presenting that.
sure you
I feel privileged because I live alone, so I don't have to battle with these demons. But when I had a boyfriend, I gained 100 pounds living in my house.
And he ate junk food all the time, and every night he was passing me the bag of chips. And I used to ask him, like, as I was gaining the weight, I asked him to please not bring that stuff in the house. And he kept bringing it in the house, and I kept eating it. You do eat what's in your environment. So,
right. Which
I just want to put that out there.
I agree with that.
Don't expect to be immune to it. You won't be.
Right.
And then you're going to blame yourself and feel like a failure, but it's not your fault. It's just that we're
right.
all human.
So don't bring it in the house. Don't put it on the
right.
Honestly, that's the best way to not eat it is to not bring it in the house.
Yeah. Right. So that starts with going back, and these are the hard conversations, right? These are the hard conversations that you need to have with your family, your loved ones, and your friends, the people your circle, the people you share your time with, that you're changing your life. Right? And they're a part of your life, and you need their support in order for you to actually transform. And you shared earlier that you want to be able to be mobile, right? You want to have a better health for your body.
Right.
And doing so is going to require changing what comes into your house as far as food. And it's
right.
going to have to be a conversation with those around you. And you're going to have to get their buy-in and their commitment. So I strongly encourage you to start practicing those conversations today.
And it'll help them too, right? Like, they'll benefit as well.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are scared of making changes. They're like, I don't have a problem, because a lot of times you only see, I mean, we're very surface-orientated, so, like, in our medical system, we see obesity and we equate that as disease, whereas, like, thinner people have the same diseases as obese people. It's just not as obvious. But there's plenty of people who are diabetic and really skinny. You know?
Yeah.
It just sort of flies under the radar a bit. But, like, any of these changes that are giving benefit to your health will also give benefit to their health. You know? And you can upsell that. You know, I think it's something that we don't really consider doing, because everybody thinks about the drawbacks of changing their lifestyle. But the whole point of doing it is that you're getting massive benefits, and anybody can get benefit from changing their food lifestyle the way that weight loss surgery people do. So it's a plus all around.
Yeah. And it will benefit. It will benefit everybody that you're around as well.
We'll have a better sex life.
Yeah. I mean, the list goes on for all the benefits that you can have, right? But it's not going to happen without you taking on the conversation. They won't do it just because you're doing it. Right?
Right.
So you're going to have the conversation and enroll them in the possibility of joining you and supporting you, right? And why it matters, why you need their help, why you need their support. Particularly in the beginning stages of the journey, when you're actually creating the most significant amount of change and transformation, you don't want to wait until you're 24 to 36 months post-op and you start to feel normal again and nobody has changed, because guess what? You'll start doing exactly what they're doing again. So it's really about creating the transformation as early as possible. So we talked about...
Makes a lot of sense. Right?
Yeah. So I want to make sure that I get to highlight some of these items around the grocery shopping makeover. We've kind of gone all over the place, which I think has been beneficial, which is good, but I want to make sure, just looking at our time frame, that I want to encourage everybody to become organized, right? Get organized before you even do your grocery shopping. It'll save you a lot of time. It'll also save you a lot of money, right? Frequent trips to the grocery store can load you with unwanted food items. I used to go to the grocery store every night after work before weight loss surgery. And that now became my gym time. instead of going to the grocery store every night, I go to the grocery store one day a week, and I get the food that I need for the week. And now I have all this time available. And guess what I get to do with that time? I get to exercise. I get to move my body on purpose. I get to get my post-workout swagger on because I effectively manage my time, right? And I also reduce those unwanted impulse purchases. Maybe unwanted is the wrong word. The unneeded impulse purchases, right? So creating a meal library, big thing. Are you doing that currently? Anybody have their favorite rotation of foods they like to eat or recipes they like to cook in their household?
I think that's the only way I cook.
Say that again?
I think that's the only things that I cook. I have a rotation, favorites, then their go-tos.
Okay, good. Excellent. That's great. And I would say that either there's probably a good opportunity. Are you pre-op?
Yes.
Okay. So
I've been trying to switch them up.
Oh, yeah? Tell me how. Like, what are you doing?
Substituting ground turkey for ground beef. V8 juice in place of just regular tomato juice. Adding in vegetables to sauces. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, those are all good starts. Right? So you'll find that when you have your favorite recipes, it's something you might want to start doing now. So I appreciate you sharing that with us. If you're pre-op, you might want to start doing that. Take a look at some of your regularly prepared meals, some of your family favorites, and start seeing how you can make them better or different to support your weight loss surgery goals. Right? It's pretty important. Because if you don't start changing them now, what do you think you're going to do later? Anybody?
Can I make a suggestion about the vegetables and stuff? Because
you may,
I think when we're asked to, like, if we don't eat, we're not used to that in our diet, and like we're asked to start eating more vegetables on our plate, like especially in places of starches and stuff like that. And always increasing the fiber in the diet is a great idea. But I think it's a great idea to just, like, challenge yourself out once a week. You just try a new vegetable that you're not really used to getting and just, like, try a couple recipes and different ways to make it and see if you like any of them. And, like, the regular stuff that you like to get, you know, keep getting, like, if you like coleslaw or stuff like that. But to try something new and just expand your horizon a little bit, but just, like, a bite at a time, if you know what I mean.
I love vegetables. It's my son and my husband that won't eat them. So I kind of sneak them.
It's always a battle.
And here's the thing, right? It's okay. You can be a good parent, right? You can be a good spouse, and you can encourage them to eat their vegetables, or you can sneak it in for them, right? And as we talked about earlier, it'll be beneficial for them to eat healthier in general. But it's very common. It's very common that the protein of your meal, the entire family will eat the protein in most cases. But not everybody is going to eat the produce, the vegetable, for whatever reason. I live in the same household, right? My husband eats vegetables. Corn and jalapeno, that's it. So
taco vegetables.
Those are his vegetables. So we eat the same protein base, but essentially our meal is different. He'll have that protein with whatever he wants to eat it with, and I'll have that protein with my produce next to it. Right, so there are ways to make it work if you cannot create an overall change within your household. right? But yeah, you always want to start with that protein first, and think produce at a minimum for yourself. So creating that meal library is really, really important, and taking time now, you know, if you are I lived on the East Coast, went to college in Rhode Island, right? Buddy Cianci was the mayor of Providence and spoke at my university, Italian, of all Italian. And Sundays and pasta are a big thing in a lot of families, right? Lasagna dinner, spaghetti dinner.
The Sunday sauce.
Say it again? Homemade
sauce. The Sunday
sauce. Sunday sauce, right? So how's that going to work, right? What are you going to do? Now's the time to start thinking about alternatives to that. Now's the time to start creating that recipe.
Now bringing your spiralized zucchini is a great one for that, by the way.
Yes, spiralized zucchini. I personally love to just make sauce and put it on top of green beans. I also make that sauce. I'll make sauce and put it on lettuce. Make a salad out of it. The spiralized zucchini is good as well. There, you can use zucchini rolls and slice the zucchini and make it like a lasagna roll-up. You can do stuffed peppers, lasagna stuffed peppers, right? So essentially removing the pasta piece and putting in an alternative in there, right? Maybe you're using a chicken sausage versus a pork sausage. Maybe you're using a low sugar, adding zero to no sugar in your sauce and sticking with the natural sugars that are in the vegetables that you're using to make a sauce. If you're like me, you're buying a sauce and you're doing it based on the lowest sugar content and the most natural ingredients that you can find, right? So you want to start thinking about that now as you build out your meal library so that you can still go to your favorite foods that you enjoy eating so you can continue to eat delicious food, as Carrie mentioned earlier, but delicious food to support your weight loss surgery journey. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You're going to need to make a grocery list. Right? You're going to eat three meals a day, more than likely, and you're probably going to have 2 to 3 snacks a day. So the old snacks were the candy bars and the milkshake and the bags of chips and the package of crackers, right? So you need to come up with a new snack plan. What do those snacks look like? And start buying them. Oh, no. Are you still there?
Yeah. Apples?
Okay.
Pears?
Sorry, my phone, my computer looked like we lost the call, but you're still there. Good. Yeah, I heard apples, right? Remember, protein first, followed by your
yogurt.
Food.
Yogurt.
Yeah? What else?
How about banana with, well, maybe not banana, but apple with a little bit of peanut butter?
Yeah, so peanut butter keeps coming up in the conversation, and I'm going to mention a couple of things about it. I'm going to go back to peanut butter and nuts. So peanut butter, if you look at it, I want you to take a look at it. The number one ingredient is sugar. When you look at a label, and Carrie, feel free to correct me if I'm misspeaking here.
Sure.
Number one, I'm not a dietitian, and I'm not a nutritionist. I'm a bariatric patient who's highly successful for a very long time, right? So I'm not a medical professional. I just want everyone to know that. So you should always check any of these conversations and information or thoughts that you have around nutrition with your bariatric team. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. But I want you to take a look at your regular Jif or Skippy peanut butter that most people probably have in their cabinet. And when you look at your nutritional label, the items listed in order, the first item is the heaviest ingredient, meaning the most percentage of that ingredient is in the food.
Yes, that is correct.
Sugar is the number one ingredient on that label for peanut butter.
Even if it's a second, it could be like a very close second.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're listed in rank order, right? I used to work in the food industry, so I know a little bit about labels, right? And so in order, as they're listed, is also the amount of which is in the food. So peanut butter is a very slippery slope. It is not something that I would recommend to a bariatric patient to be eating, and particularly if you have gastric bypass and or sugar is a trigger, which sugar is a trigger for most of us, right? So I'm anti-peanut butter. I would recommend if you need peanut butter that there are some, a natural almond butter or a cashew butter that you grind yourself, or there's some peanut butter alternatives like PB2 is a popular one that you actually can mix with water or mix with Greek yogurt, and you'll get the flavor of peanut butter, but you won't get all the sugar and the fat associated with it. So I want to mention that and ask you to check with your bariatric team. But I would not recommend an apple with peanut butter. That would be me. The other thing I want to mention are nuts. It's very, very rare that you will find a bariatric patient who can exude control over the quantity of nuts they eat.
True.
They can become slider foods. So meaning they don't provide the satiety that your weight loss surgery needs to be working for you as opposed to against you. They're high in calorie, high in fat, and have little protein for the calories.
And roasted, can I add something to this? Roasted
yes.
Nuts actually kind of means deep fried. That's how
really?
They're pretty much deep fried.
Yeah.
So, like, it's pretty much saturated. And especially if you get salted ones, that salting is going to make you want to drink with what you're eating. And then that is totally slider food number one. And it's so easy to, if you have, I used to do this very often. My family does this. So you come home after a hard day's work and you fix yourself a drink and some nuts, like, before you start making dinner or whatever, like, it's such a trap, it will suck up a large percentage of the daily calories that you should be consuming for very, very
yeah.
little long-term satisfaction.
Correct.
Better choices.
So I'm going to be here until 9:30, but we are hitting the one-hour mark. It's 9:03 Pacific Standard Time. So the last piece of advice I want to give you guys when you're picking protein, right, is what I have done for myself, and it's been extremely successful for a number of years, and I like to share it with everybody, is how I pick protein, how I pick the nutrition that I'm going to eat. And I would recommend you start taking a look at it and maybe try it and see if it benefits you. It's benefited me. So I have a 10-to-1 rule. For every 10 calories, there should be one protein, 10-to-1. So if there's 10 calories, there's one protein. And that's how I look at labels, and that's how I make choices for protein first. So I did this because I started out following the rule of protein first, and I thought, just like many of you seem to be thinking, if it's food and it has protein in it, because peanut butter does have protein in it, and nuts do have protein in it, right, that I thought I was picking protein first. However, for the calories I needed and the protein goal that my surgeon gave me, by just picking foods that had protein in it, my calories were too high, even though I was hitting the protein mark, and guess what was happening? My weight loss was stalled. I was not losing weight because even though I hit the protein mark, my calories were too high. You follow me?
Wendy, can I add in that cheese can also be a culprit in that?
It can.
Cheese has the most similar nutritional profile to nuts. And like we think, like Wendy said, we think of it as protein foods, but really it's a trio of protein, fat, and carbohydrate. Yeah. So it's not really a high protein food, and we're looking for more high protein to fill that category.
Yeah. So like peanut butter is 190 calories and 6 proteins on average. Nuts are 160 calories to 210 calories, depending on the nut, and 4 to 6 proteins on average. They don't meet the 10-to-1. Cheese is 110 calories to 7 proteins on average. Doesn't meet 10-to-1, right? 10-to-1 is if it has 100 calories in it, it needs to have 10 proteins in it. If it doesn't, I'm not eating it, right? If it has 330 calories in it and it has 30 proteins, is that 10-to-1?
No.
If it has 330 calories and it has 33 proteins, is that 10-to-1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So if it has 220 calories and it has 22 proteins, is that 10-to-1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has 120 calories and 23 proteins. Is that 10-to-1?
No.
No.
Is it? What is it?
It's too much protein.
It's not too much protein. It's better than 10-to-1. Shrimp falls into that category. Ground beef, 96-4 sirloin falls into that category. Chicken breast falls into that category. Ground turkey or turkey breast falls into that category. Better than 10-to-1 is okay. And 10-to-1 is okay. If it's not 10-to-1 or better, what should you do?
Not get it.
Put it back on the shelf.
Skip it.
Don't eat it.
Exactly. There you go. So let me ask this question. As I mentioned, I'm going to be here on the call until 9:30. That's 23 more minutes. What are you taking away from today? Anybody?
You're still out here?
Anybody want to share what they're taking away from the call?
The 10 to 1 protein. I never thought of it like that or heard of it like
that. That's why I'm here. I had to figure it out. So I'm glad to share it. Anybody else? What are you taking away?
Need to get organized. Plan.
Need to get organized. Excellent. Very good. What else?
Support is key.
Yes, support is key. Very good. Thank you. What else?
Roasted peanuts are deep fried peanuts.
Yeah, Carrie, you made a marker on that. Yes.
I didn't ever even think about it that way.
Yeah, stay away from them. So a couple things I want to highlight. Sandy and I are WLS Success Matters. Our website, if you have not been there, you should be there. It's WLSSuccessMatters.com. We are also WLS Success Matters on Facebook and Instagram and all over the place. Not only do we do these free support groups, which we do one time per month, our next one will be on a Thursday night. Oh, actually, we will not have a support group in April. So our next support group is going to be in May, on May 2nd, Saturday, May 2nd. And our support groups are recorded, and they're on our website as podcasts. So we have over 5, almost 6 years or more of support groups recorded that you can listen to on demand anytime that you like. If you are here as a pre-op patient and you need to have confirmation of your attendance, you need to do the following. You need to email us. You need to email us. You need to tell us what we talked about today. And you need to provide us the information of where we need to send your proof of attendance. Okay? So we do not automatically send down anything unless you email us and do as I just suggested. Our email address. You'll need our email address to send in that request for proof of attendance. It is a long email address, so I hope that you have a pen or that you can type it out. It is our name, WLS Success Matters, just like it sounds, WLS Success Matters at gmail.com. WLS Success Matters at gmail.com. Send us a request for proof of attendance. Tell us what we talked about today, where we need to send that proof of attendance, and we'll get that back to you within 24 to 48 hours, okay? Anybody have any questions? I'm going to be here till 9:30, but for those of you that need to go, I understand it's Saturday, and you probably have a list of to-dos, so we don't want to keep you here all day. I do want to thank you for sharing your time with us, and we hope that you'll join us in the future. Somebody had mentioned they have our cookbook. You can get it on Amazon. It's Eat Your Way to Success and Learn How to Control Hunger. Eat Your Way to Success and Learn How to Control Hunger. And you'll find that we have a lot of additional services, educational courses on our website. We highly encourage you to take a look at those and join us for any of them. They all work. They're all fantastic. I'm a little bit biased, but we'd love to have you join us for any of our other events. So any questions regarding how to get your proof of attendance?
No.
Okay. Perfect. So I'm opening up the call now for the next 16 or so minutes to answer any questions that you have that we did not get covered today. There's still a lot of callers here, so I'm here for you.
Thanks so much, Wendy.
You're welcome, Virginia. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for your help.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
I do have a quick question.
Yeah.
How much protein would you recommend daily?
So that starts with you having a conversation with your bariatric surgeon. Every surgeon and every surgical type and every dietitian seems to be different. But I can tell you for the last 11 years, I've spent multiple hours a day living in the world of weight loss surgery patients of all types, as a bariatric coach and educator and patient. And it seems to be the average is a minimum of 60 grams of protein a day, up to as much as 120 grams of protein a day. Again, based on your surgeon's recommendation and your surgical type. But always check with them and not me. But that's the average, 60 to 120.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You bet. Good question. Anybody else? What do we got? What are we talking about? I see 2484 numbers. I know you're from Philly, right? And you're pre-oppers, so you got to have some type of questions. Concerns, questions, anxiety, lessons you're learning. What about my 563 caller? Are you pre-op?
That's me. I just asked about the protein.
Okay. Are you pre-op or you are then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, I'm still jumping through all the hoops, trying to get it all going.
You will. It will happen. And then you'll be here 11 years later. Saying, oh, I remember that call back in March of 2020 with that crazy lady, Wendy. So stay with us. I hope that you join us more. And, I mean, I have, like, a list of questions all day, every day. So don't be embarrassed to ask.
Right.
What about the 484-632? You have any questions? Anything you want to share?
No, I'm good at this time. Thanks for asking, though.
Okay. And what about my 484-515? You're on mute. I don't think I've heard anything from you today. Part of being here on the call is being involved in the call. You want to ask a question or share with me what you're taking away today?
I'm sorry, but I'm 563 is going to have to hop off.
Okay, 563.
I did
have
enjoy
a great day.
This call.
Oh, good. Well, that's what we're here for you to get education and enjoy and know that we're going to be around. We've been doing this a long time, so never hesitate to reach out. We'd love to have you be here on a regular basis, and we wish you nothing but all the success and best health that you can imagine and create.
Well, thank you, thank you.
You bet. Take great care. So that 484 with the male voice, I'll just share that I'm a lucky lady. My husband is a gastric bypass patient, and I think he's going on year 17. I stopped counting for him. I just wanted to share that I happen to live with a male weight loss surgery patient. If you want to talk male weight loss surgery patient stuff, I got you. We're good. And he's my weight loss surgery hero, by the way. So you should look for one. I'll put that out there to all of you on the call. You should look.
I have a question. What is his favorite recipe in your cookbook?
His favorite recipe in my cookbook is the chicken crust pizza, which I don't have a cookbook laying here, but he loves my chicken crust pizza. So he loves pizza in general. And with my surgery type, I don't really do well with any type of crust or bread. So I also love pizza, but over the years I learned that me trying to eat pizza like everybody else in the world ends up with my head in the toilet. So not a good look, and not healthy for my esophagus or my lap band. So I created a ground chicken crust pizza. And it is on our regular rotation. So I can eat it, and he can eat it. So we can both eat the same pizza, although I even allow him to put jalapenos on it. I can pick them off if I need to.
That the whole point of that is that there are definitely ways that you can even satisfy a man on a weight loss surgery-focused meal plan. And it's
good.
All in a matter of planning and, like, thinking about, like, what you actually like and want to eat, but just, like, changing it around a little bit. And it's still delicious, but yet it'll suit your needs, it'll satisfy you, and it'll keep you, you know, in your lane that you have to be in, right?
Seriously. Well, he loves chicken, right? And I can't. My weight loss surgery tool does not like chicken. Especially like chicken breast in a form, it will do ground chicken, but not regular chicken as we think of it. So I will make him his favorite chicken, and I will make a lot of it. He likes very spicy, because it slows down the rate of speed at which he eats.
That's a good tip. Little pro tip there.
It's the only tip that he ever gained out of going to one seminar about weight loss surgery. And so spicy is a way that slows him down, but I'll make him a bunch of chicken, and then he'll have it on hand, and he'll eat it as he wants to, and I make my own food. But he loves chicken, so he gets it. And it looks like it's just me and Carrie, so I'm going to turn off our recording.